CBS, Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. It is called by the United Nations the Commission of Inquiry on the Occupied Palestinian Territory, comma, including East Jerusalem, comma, and Israel, comma. This is a product of the United Nations Human Rights Commission. Malcolm Holine, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, is here to help me understand the challenge of this commission. And we're also very pleased to welcome Galit Baram, Special Emissary for Community Outreach, North American Division, at the Israel Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Galit, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. As I understand it, what we're looking at is extreme prejudice, once more, by the United Nations. Help my audience understand the meaning of this lengthy titled commission about the Palestinian occupied territories. Good evening to you. What is it for?
Well, it all started actually with the decision of the Human Rights Council in Geneva to establish a commission of inquiry into the events of, that happened in Israel, in the Palestinian Authority, in our region during Operation Guardian of the Walls in May 2021. The Human Rights Council is known for its negative attention given to Israel, the unprecedented number of resolutions, disproportional number of resolutions and decisions that are adopted against Israel almost automatically. And the bias of this particular organization is obvious. The commissioners that were appointed to lead the investigation included three people: Navi Pillay, Chris Sidoti, and Milon Kutari, three people who had in the past made very clear statements against Israel. They defined Israel even as an apartheid state more than once, very critical, very anti-Israeli. And it was obvious for us at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, we knew it ahead of time, that any report that would be published by these three people would probably be extremely biased and anti-Israeli to begin with. We had a serious problem with the mandate that was given to this particular commission, a mandate that was unlimited, meaning that it would be able to publish two reports per year for years to come. This is the creation of a mechanism that would criticize Israel from now until the end of time. There was also the issue of budget, the number of reporters and researchers that were supposed to work at that committee. Again, it was unprecedented, and we had to fight to narrow it down a bit, not dramatically, but a bit. Also, the commission was given a mandate to investigate what they called root causes of the conflict, of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. That means taking us back to 1948, to the beginning of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and to the establishment of the State of Israel, by that questioning the existence of the State of Israel, something that is definitely unacceptable in Israel and should be unacceptable by the UN in general. Then the report was published in early June, and as we expected, it was biased, it was one-sided, with the criticism that was directed against Israel, against Israel's conduct in the territories in the West Bank, in Judea and Samaria, in Gaza, and in other parts of Israel. That was, again, another issue, something that was unacceptable by Israel. There was no mentioning, hardly any mentioning, of the responsibility that the responsibility of terror organizations such as Hamas and Islamic Jihad that instigated the situation. No mentioning that Hamas is a terror organization recognized as so by many countries around the world, including the United States. And no mentioning of the fact that it is a proxy of Iran, financially and ideologically supported by Iran. There was hardly any mention of the 200 rockets that rained over the heads of Israeli civilians, and no mentioning of the Palestinian incitement against Israel. And I'm talking here about the Palestinian Authority and the Palestinian government, not only terror organizations. And that, of course, resulted in a biased anti-Israeli report that infuriated not only Israel, but other like-minded countries. The United States is among them. Then a week ago, Milan Kotari made his offensive anti-Semitic remarks. It was infuriating, but I can't say it again that we were surprised by that at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. It simply exposed the state of mind in which the commissioners approached the investigation in the first place. This is how we saw it. Navi Pillay, another member, tried to defend him, but the president of the Human Rights Council actually condemned the words of Milan Kotari. Outrageous remarks about Judaism, so anti-Semitic that I'm even embarrassed to repeat them.
To characterize what you're... Malcolm, I think I have the flow here. This is the Red Queen saying sentence first, verdict afterwards. We've wandered into Alice in Wonderland territory here. The United Nations practices this routinely, or is this an extreme example, Malcolm?
No, this is this is an extreme example in the sense that, as Gilad David is properly pointing out, it is so blatantly one side, and Human Rights Council consistently have one country that has an agenda of its own, that's Israel. But this goes beyond it, and the danger is, and as I think you, David, pointed out, that it's open-ended, budget unlimited, can condemn Israel in every way, and then go to the International Criminal Court or other vehicles to condemn and try to attack Israel, and using the, quote, legitimacy of the UN to help them. But, Galit, let me ask you something fundamental. Has the U.S. return to the Human Rights Council last year changed anything there? And does it really matter what the UN does?
We have a couple of minutes, Galit. Go ahead.
Yes. First of all, we are grateful to the United States and many other countries that have supported us greatly. There were statements that very clear statements that criticized the Kotari immediately after the publication. The United States was first, the UK, Canada, Australia, many other like-minded countries. And of course, when it comes to Israel, the United States diplomatic relations, I can't say enough about how closely the two countries work and how we cooperate on so many levels. Prime Minister and Foreign Minister Yair Lapid demands the immediate removal of all three members of the COI and the disbanding of the commission. We believe that we have plenty of support among our friends, and definitely we will fight for that, apology or not apology. We believe that this commission has no place in the framework of the UN.
Malcolm, was it purposeful that this extreme prejudice statement, was that on purpose, and the apology was meant to be a way of telling, I don't know, the anti-Semites that we got away with it again?
I think it's well put, because it's certainly purposeful. It's certainly reflective, as Galit said, of the bias that these three people who were known before to come into this position to appoint three biased, openly biased people who have made these outrageous statements and give them the power that they did. So it was purposeful. This, I don't know that Kotari, he expected, and maybe Galit has a view. He did this interview on a rather remote podcast and maybe thought that he could get away with it because it's a very extreme anti-Israel podcast as it is, and then got caught. And it took 10 days to get this non-apology out of him.
Galit, we just have a few seconds here. To your satisfaction, is the United Nations going to explain this to its members, this anti-Semitic remark? We have 30 seconds.
We expect the UN definitely to understand the severity of such a statement. And again, we're calling for the removal of these three members of the COI and the disbanding of this commission. This is what we want to see.
Galit Baram is the Special Emissary for Community Outreach, North American Division, the Israeli Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Jerusalem, Malcolm Holine, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.